The Lane Berets reporting for duty. Fasten your seatbelts and hold on your carrots. You're about to enter the Lane Berets Throwdown Zone, the hard rock of fitness and food. We are Avengers of Health. Hide the donuts. You're listening to the Lane Berets radio show at theleanberets.com. Welcome, Berets. I'm Ron Jones, the founder of the Lean Berets, and I've got a special show here today called Hydrostatic Health and Coaching Body Composition. And this is going to be a different show because I've never done a Lean Berets show on my own flying solo, but considering the circumstances today, I think it'll be a little more efficient. In my full-time profession, I'm a corporate wellness coach, or well coach, as we say in the trademark version of that. And I brought in a hydrostatic weighing testing specialist a few months ago, earlier in 2012, to underwater weigh my clients and determine body composition. So we did a whole show with the testing specialist, Linda Finley, a few weeks ago, and it was just fascinating to talk about, you know, what we're learning from the hydrostatic weighing, why we're doing it, the latest research on protein, and how that factors into long-term management of health and also getting fat weight down and lean mass up, because it's all about the muscle. But this show today, I'm going to talk about the actual coaching that I'm doing. And I'm really putting the show together. It's got a twofold approach. It's going to help my current clients understand all the points at the coaching table if they forgot something or if I forgot to mention it, because I only have about 15 minutes following that hydrostatic test to get all these points out. So this will be helpful and, you know, another kind of a background check for them to go over some of the main points. But I want to put it on the Lean Berets show because it does have a wide mass appeal to the general population. And if you've noticed, the shows we do with the Lean Berets usually have a general population focus or theme. So I want to share that with you, get you behind the scenes on the coaching end of this hydrostatic weighing project I've been doing. And even if you don't have access to a mobile testing lab like bodyfattest.com provides with Linda Finley, where you go under the water and you get your body fat tested along with lean mass and resting metabolism, I think you can take this information today and actually use it to optimize your own body comp. So basically, just to give you kind of an overview of my process, the test itself takes about 15 minutes. Linda comes out in a mobile truck. There's a tank inside. It's heated, filtered water. They get in. They do the test. She explains the basics, but there's a lot more to know beyond that 15 minutes when she's also conducting the test and going through some of the high points. So I decided to follow up on that. It was a great opportunity for me to sit down with my clients when they come off the truck for another 15 minutes to do a little coaching at the table, to look over the results, help them clarify the points, make sure they understand the basics. Quite often, and to my advantage, I have a registered dietitian working with me as well, and that really helps, especially with the clinical issues and when we get into specifics on food, which is, you know, can be a little bit out of my scope of practice when you get into those clinical issues on nutrition. But I'll give you the coaching kind of flow chart today, and I think it's really going to help you. So moving forward, you know, when people come off the truck and they come into the table to sit down with me and hopefully the dietitian as well, the first thing I do is I grab their four-page report and I start looking at some high data points. So first thing I'm going to highlight is their resting metabolic rate. And I've got some coaching worksheets that I've worked up too, so I'm just basically kind of filling in the blanks, and that helps them see what they really need to see for later. So it's not all just handwritten and kind of messy. So that resting metabolic rate is key to highlight right away. And basically, your resting metabolic rate is the number of calories you need per day just to breathe and run your organs. It's before you go to work, before you run around the house and picking up your kids, and definitely before you exercise. So what I'm seeing with the women is that they're running a resting metabolic rate of around 12 to 1,500 plus calories a day. The men are running around 1,600 to 1,900 plus calories a day. And the highest male I've seen with resting metabolic rate requirements is about 2,600 plus calories a day. And remember, that's just organ function alone. You're just sitting on the couch or in the bed breathing and doing nothing else. This is a real critical number to note because anything under that amount of calories you're eating per day is going to force you into a starvation mode where you're actually using your muscle for fuel, and that's not optimal when you're talking about managing fat weight. And that's another thing I'll talk a lot about today, and we've talked about that before with Linda's show. So if you haven't heard that show, I go back, because that's kind of the precursor to this show today. But you never want to get into eating your muscle for fuel. You know, that doesn't do a good job for helping you optimize your fat weight losses down the road. So just remember, you know, if you're not getting the test, think about, gosh, you know, Ron's talking about, you know, women 12 to 1500 calories a day just to breathe, and men around 16 to 1900 calories a day. What's interesting, when I talk to the female clients that I have, and they're on a typical, we'll say, national diet program, they're running around 1200, 1300 calories a day for intake. And, you know, they're clearly under eating. So I'll give you an example. You take a woman, you know, she's running, you know, 1200 calories a day on her diet, and she's going to have another 300 calories a day for activities of daily living, you know, going to work, running some errands, things like that. I mean, she's already looking at 1500 calories a day before she exercises. So, you know, you can clearly get off by hundreds of calories a day if you're not careful. So I just, you know, that's a big point with resting metabolic rate. Realize it might be a little higher than you're used to seeing, and you don't want to drop under that, because you're in danger for using your muscle for fuel. And you're basically shooting yourself in the metabolic foot, and that's a comment we made quite often on Linda's show. And think of it this way, too. Linda reminded me of this. Think of this as you never want to be under-muscled, right? So really do everything you possibly can to preserve that lean mass, and that's going to help optimize your results for reducing that fat weight if, in fact, you do need to do that. So, you know, we take our RMR, and I like to factor about 300 calories a day on top of that for activities of daily living. So if we had that 1,200 calorie a day RMR for that woman, we factored another 300, she'd be up to 1,500 calories a day. That's about her bottom line for calorie intake. And I'm encouraging my clients, you know, not to drop underneath that RMR plus the activities of daily living caloric need. So whatever your RMR is, I put about 300 on top of that, and that gives us a ballpark for intake. And remember, if you're starving or you're not getting enough calories, your body's going to go after muscle for fuel as one of those fuel sources. So just be careful of that. It's a real big point. It's the first point I make when they come in off the truck and they give me the report. The next item I write down on my coaching worksheet is dry weight, and that's your weight at the truck in your swimsuit. It's not as big a deal the first time through. I might look at that a little closer if you do a retest, and I'd like to encourage everyone to retest if you are one of my clients or you have an opportunity to do this at some other location, off-site or off my corporate sites, because you really start learning about your metabolism, what you're doing right and wrong on that second and third test for sure. But I will record the dry weight just for reference. But I'd encourage you to kind of redefine weight, because weight is not just weight to me anymore. It's fat weight or lean mass weight. So I'll mention this a little bit in the show today. And what I mean by that is if you were taught that you should weigh 150 pounds to be healthy, I think we kind of we need to redefine that now, because if we're emphasizing more muscle instead of starving off muscle, you might actually end up weighing a little bit more in the scale, but being much leaner, and in my opinion, much healthier as well. So dry weight I write down, I'll make a note of that on my coaching worksheet. The next thing I write down is your lean body mass in pounds, and this is really a critical number. And the nice thing about the hydrostatic weighing is you don't just get your body fat percentage, but you get how many pounds of lean mass you have, which for our purposes is muscle, but just know it also is your organ weight and body fluids and bone. But we'll just talk about lean mass as muscle and for the purposes of the show. So anyway, that's one of the critical data points. I need that number to calculate the amount of protein you need for the day. And so that's why I really emphasize that lean body mass in pounds. I need that scientific data to run the accurate protein range calculations, because we don't want to be, you know, under the amount of protein we need, because then we can't maintain or gain any lean mass. If you're eating too much protein, that can be really hard in your kidneys, and you can store extra protein as fat. So the nice thing about or one of the nice things about the hydrostatic weighing information is that we don't have to guess anymore. We have a very accurate number there. The next thing I'll write down on your coaching worksheet is your body fat percentage. And I really don't highlight this during my coaching sessions. I want everyone to know that. I'll make a note of it, but I don't dwell on it because for me, the hydrostatic weighing is really not about body fat testing, even though that's what the company's called. It's about seeing how much muscle you've got and then how to maintain that or even gain it, as most people will actually need to gain some muscle. So I will write down your body fat percentage, but know this, you know, after snooping around a little bit, the American College of Sports Medicine defines body fat percentages in the healthy range as this. 10 to 22% body fat for men is considered healthy. 20 to 32% body fat percentage is considered healthy for women. So if you're over 22% in a man or you're over 32% as a woman, you're actually into the obese category technically. If you're under 10% as a man and under 20% as a woman, it doesn't mean you're unhealthy. It just means you're dropping into that more athletic range, they would call it. There is a point where you can have too little body fat. I don't see that very often, but if you're a man and you're under 5% or a woman and you're dropping under 12% body fat, you can start presenting with some body function issues like hair loss, skin quality. Women can get into menstrual cycle dysfunction where they're missing a menstrual cycle. It can develop into some bone density problems and other things. So I might see that with really high-level ultra-endurance athletes or bodybuilder types of people or gymnastics folks, but in the general population of corporate wellness, it's not really something that I see very often, but I did want to make a comment on that. One of the other worksheets that I developed is an actual protein worksheet. So now that I have the lean body mass in pounds that you brought in, what I'm going to do is take that number and run these range calculations. So you're going to get a higher and a lower amount. And, you know, you can always start low and then work your way up a little bit at a time and give your body a chance to get used to a higher protein intake. Most of the people I've seen, and I've tested over 200 people now with Linda, aren't getting enough protein. They need a little more protein, especially based on the new research coming out about the value of protein and how it factors into weight management more efficiently. So just know that, you know, most of the people coming into me, if you're not getting this test done and you don't have access to it, they're probably not getting enough protein. And so if they're not, you're probably not too. And so you want to think about, you know, cranking up your protein a little bit. In general, it's about 1 gram of protein per pound of lean mass. I mean, that's what a lot of the major organizations are using now. So they'll give you a little bit of a reference there. In terms of protein intake and distribution, this is an important point to make at the coaching table for people. And if you're not getting the test, you need to know this as well. The upper limit for protein intake per serving is about 25 or 30 grams at one time. So, for example, let's say a person needs 125 grams of protein per day based on their pounds of lean mass. It would be better for them to take 5 servings of 25 grams each throughout the whole day every few hours rather than attempting, let's say, 2 protein shakes of 60-plus grams each. You're not going to absorb protein efficiently if you're intaking more than 30 grams at one time. And it can also create something called a backloading effect on your kidneys. They just can't process that amount of protein at one time, and it's not a healthy thing to do. You actually can do some organ damage if you get too carried away with protein. So that's another great advantage of the hydrostatic weighing. We don't have to blindly guess at this and put you into some kind of metabolic situation that could be damaging to your health. We know how many pounds of lean mass you have. We can run an accurate protein range from lower to higher, and we can work our way up slowly in a really systematic, scientific way. And so I just love this and the data and how we use it because it's really helping people. And having retested, you know, a couple dozen or more people at this point, this is working really well. Almost everyone retesting that I've been experienced with has actually seen body fat go down, lean mass go up, based on everything I'm talking about today. These are the things that I discuss at the coaching table with them, and we clarify and the things that they've used to optimize their health in terms of reducing body fat and also increasing lean mass. And remember, lean mass is important because your muscle is that metabolic engine that you'll be using to burn up those fat storage reserves. So just know, like 25, 30 grams at one time is about as much as you should get at one serving. You don't want to exceed that because it's hard on your kidneys, and you want to distribute that protein load throughout the day. Don't try to do it all at one or two shots. Try to get a little bit of protein at each meal throughout the day, and that works really, really well. You take that, if you're just generalizing this, take that 1 gram of protein per pound of lean body mass and divide it by 5 or divide it by 6, and that's how many grams you need per serving throughout the day. Another thing I did is I started interviewing Linda because she's tested over 10,000 people, and in the other show we went over this quite a bit, so I won't recap too much of it today. But I created a handout, a one-page handout, based on weeks of interviewing Linda Findlay, the testing specialist. And it's basically my notes, my interview notes, of her observations of over 10,000 people in terms of what her leanest people do and how they get lean and how they stay lean and how they manage their nutritional intake. So it's really interesting to look at. I don't have time at the coaching table to go over all those points, but I really encourage everyone to read that in detail at a later time. And if you're not having the testing done, you know, that handout is available on the website, so you can check it out. I'll put it on the Lean Braze site too. It's on my ronjones.org site right now, but I'll get it over on the Lean Braze site. So it's interesting. I don't know anyone that's, you know, done body composition on 10,000 plus people. So when I find people like Linda, I really start having an inquiring mind. I want to know and learn and gather some information. So in terms of the flow chart on the coaching table, these are the things I discuss and the order in which I'm discussing them. There are many questions that come up in that short 15-minute coaching session and the subsequent emails that go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. So one of the reasons I want to do the podcast and the handout that goes with it is I just couldn't keep up with the demand. I was having a hard time keeping up with all this. So I'm hoping that because most of the people have kind of the same concerns and questions and comments, that this will kind of help address most of those. And then for the few that need a little more help here and there, I can dig in and get real personal with them. So we're going to go into the next section now. Common questions during coach sessions following the hydrostatic weighing. One of the things that people ask me a lot about is macronutrients. And for some people coming into the table, they've never really heard of a macronutrient. They know what a carbohydrate is or a protein or a fat, but those are actually the three primary macronutrients. So just for clarification here, we're talking about macronutrient balance. When you look at your plate of food, you should have these three things on it: carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. And I like to emphasize the healthier versions of each one of these three macronutrient categories. So that's going to be complex carbohydrates and lean proteins and heart healthy fats, which I'll go into some detail in a little bit on those three categories. But how do you define this? Because it gets a little sketchy, because one type of food can have, you know, different kinds of macronutrients in it. So which category do you put it in? For example, if you're eating nuts or seeds, you know, they have protein in them, but they also have a lot of the good fats. So because they're higher in fat than protein, they actually go into the fat category. If you look at milk, if you're eating or drinking regular milk, not the non-fat type versions, it's going to have protein and fat, but it's actually really high in carbohydrate. So that's the category that it goes in, not a protein or fat category. So just know that. Whatever it has the most of, that's the one category it goes into. So now let's break down the three. Remember, three macronutrient categories: carbohydrates, carbs for short, or proteins and fats. Let's look at complex carbohydrates, because a lot of people, they just need an example of what each one of these categories represents. And I'm actually working on a real simplified handout version for each of these three categories with some of my Lean Beret partners, and going over a lot of national resources and putting all that together. But for now, in brief, know this: complex carbohydrates, they're not going to be the processed snack crackers and white bread, but let's talk about this. They're going to be fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, peas, lentils, and things like that. Okay, so for a lot of people, when you talk about a carbohydrate, they just think of a bread or a snack cracker. And that's true, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I want you to emphasize on your plate when you're balancing these macronutrients, getting the more complex versions. And ideally, you know, things with less preparation, right? Fruits and vegetables, real simple, real food, as I would like to say, okay? Lean proteins. On your plate, you also need some protein. So remember that the idea with balancing macronutrients is that you don't eat one thing or the other, because your body really wants kind of a balance of these three when you ingest energy. So sure, you can go to a fast food restaurant and load up on protein, but you're also going to get a lot of unhealthy fat. So I'm going to emphasize the healthier proteins here, the leaner proteins. And, you know, ideally, I think for a lot of people, it's easier to eat meat and get the protein, but you don't have to eat meat to get protein. But let's just talk about meat sources. So in general, a 3-ounce serving of meat is about 21 grams of protein, according to the Centers for Disease Control website and many other national organizations. So just bear that in mind. That's a little reference point for you. So if we look at poultry, you know, turkey, chicken, ostrich, those are nice lean sources of protein. Here's some leaner cuts of beef. So not all beef is really lean, but here's some leaner cuts of beef. Eye of round, tri-tip, sirloin, top round, sirloin tip, bottom round roast. Cold water fish is nice and lean. Pork, loin chops, tenderloin, and centerloin, and boneless top loin are good choices. Wild game is very lean. So if you look at venison and elk, you know, antelope is lean, but, you know, it'd be hard to find an antelope unless you're a pretty serious hunter. But I think venison and elk is getting a little bit easier to find. Eggs are great sources of protein, you know, especially if you go with the egg whites, which we'll talk more about in detail in a minute. And then some dairy products as well. So what are plant sources for lean proteins? Well, the whole grains, the beans, the spinach, broccoli, tofu, quinoa, lentils, and more. Okay, so there are plant sources of protein as well. And here's some other things to note. Greek yogurt is being talked about. It's really in a buzz food right now, right? And it's a great source of protein. It has about 3 times the amount of protein as regular yogurt. But I'm going to put an asterisk by it because, like the regular yogurt that took off, you know, 15 or 20 years ago, with the Greek yogurt, the food companies have also started adding some sugars into the yogurt to make it more appealing. So just be careful. You know, it's a good thing, but don't start getting all the added sugars in there. It's going to end up being unhealthy. Yes, you might get the protein, but you're going to get all kinds of sugar calories as well. Okay. Another good source of protein is whey protein. And that's what you find in a lot of protein powders. It's easily absorbed and found in a lot of the protein supplements. But be careful because cheaper protein powders can have contamination, and we'll get into that in a minute. Here's something really interesting to note. The caloric cost of plant protein. So it's actually more efficient to eat a piece of meat in terms of calorie intake than it is to eat plants. So I'll give you an example of this. And I haven't talked enough about this at the coaching table, so I want to make a point of it today. Based on 25 grams of protein, a 3-ounce piece of meat is about 180 calories. So you got a little 3-ounce serving of lean beef. Okay, it's about 180 calories. However, if you had a 1 1/4 cup of raw tofu, it's 236 calories. Or if you had 3 1/2 cup servings of black beans, it's 374 calories. Or if you had 7 tablespoons of peanut butter, it's 670 calories. So you can get protein in plant sources, but my point is you're going to have to eat more calories to do it. Okay, so just be aware of that. A lean piece of beef is a pretty calorically efficient way to get a fair amount of protein. Okay, so just make a note of that. Our next macronutrient category is heart-healthy fats. So yes, you can go to fast food and get fats, but I'm not talking about those kinds of fats. So remember, even a healthy fat is calorie-dense. So seeds and nuts have healthy fats in them, but they have a lot of calories too. So be careful how many of those you eat if you're trying to reduce overall calories per day. But here are some healthier kinds of fat. So cold water fish has the nice fats in it. Seeds, nuts, avocados, plant oils like olive oil, coconut oil, grape oil are all pretty heart-healthy fat sources. So those are the macronutrients. Moving forward with the questions I get at the table, people ask me about vitamin supplements a lot after the hydrostatic weighing. And the dietitians I work with would say the same exact thing here. You know, myself and them, we always recommend real food over supplements first. I think we're kind of quick to just go to a pill or a supplement and get lazy with the real food thing. But the vitamins and minerals don't quite interact the same in a pill form a lot of times as they do with real food. So we're also not getting hydration with a pill or a supplement in a condensed form, right? We're not getting the fiber usually. So always, you know, try to get real food first. Some degree of supplementation is okay, I think, if you're just talking about general vitamin. But prioritize the unprocessed foods as much as possible. Without the chemicals, that's it. Just real food. A note here, if you've had a gastric bypass surgery, you know, these folks have unique issues with absorption of vitamins because of the intestinal changes that some of them have had. So they're actually on specialized supplementation that's being overseen by some kind of clinical physician or a surgical group. So, you know, those situations are different. Extreme athletic training can sometimes require extra supplementation. But for the general population, just eat real food and keep the supplements to a minimum, I think. Protein supplements in particular, I get a lot of questions about this because most of the people coming in following a hydrostatic weighing test realize, based on new research coming out, that they're not getting enough protein, especially the women, but even with a lot of the men. So I get a lot of questions on protein supplements. I think there are a lot of protein drinks out there because now that the research has emerged on protein into the general population, more and more people are talking about the value of protein. However, a lot of these protein drinks are not healthy, in my opinion. They have a lot of sugar added into them at times. So here's something interesting to think about. We know that whey protein is pretty easily absorbed and rapidly absorbed into the body. So if you take that, let's say you go to a big chain store and you get the basic generic protein powder, and a lot of that stuff has been shown to be contaminated. It can have arsenic and heavy metals in it and things like that. So you're going to take some contamination. It's going to bind with the whey protein and basically be force-fed at a rapid rate into your body. So be really careful about, you know, buying this generic stuff that can have contamination issues. I always want to caution my clients on that or anyone that is visiting my websites because I just don't want them to get anything unhealthy into their body at a rapid rate of absorption. So let's look at specifics here. Pre-mixed protein drinks, you know, I mentioned they can have a lot of sugar. You know, let's say, for example, a lot of them have about 20 to 30 grams of protein. So you're going to be in that range of bioavailability. You're not going to be backloading your kidneys if you're getting 20 to 30 grams in a serving. So that's great. But they're also going to have a lot of sugar calories. So I'm going to give you an example, a personal example of what I use and a national brand too. I often use a natural protein powder I get at Whole Foods called Jarrow Formulas. It's J-A-R-R-O-W. It's 100% natural whey protein. It only has 4 grams of sugar per serving scoop with 17 grams of protein. So if you compare this to a protein powder drink that you might find on the shelf. One of them is Bolthouse Farms, a good, you know, good product, but it's got a lot of added sugar into it. So if you're exercising hard and using this as a recovery drink, you know, that added sugar could be very appropriate. But I do want you to be aware that not everyone is exercising at the high intensity level that really requires that much sugar intake within the first few minutes post-exercise. So if you look at that Protein Plus premix, it has 26 grams of sugar with 16 grams of protein. So those two examples I gave you, they both have about the same amount of protein per serving. However, one has 6 times the sugar calories per serving. Okay, so, you know, not all protein drinks are created equal. You have to be careful of that. Meal replacement drinks, man, some of these can be the worst. So if you look at a national brand meal replacement drink, they can have loads of extra sugar in them and sometimes even artificial sugars, which is another health concern, in my opinion. But We'll just keep it kind of generic today. Just note that a lot of the pre-mixed drinks are going to have a lot of extra sugar in them. So how do you find a non-contaminated protein drink? We approached this subject on the Lean Braise about a year or two ago and actually made it like a one-page handout that teaches people what to look for when they go in and buy a protein powder. So personally, I'm not going to buy any kind of protein powder that has bovine growth hormone in there and GMO type, genetically modified, you know, types of sources in that powder, because I know with that whey protein, I'm going to absorb it really fast, and I just don't want to ingest those, what I feel is harmful chemicals or substances into my body. So I'll talk a little bit about that at the end and where to find that, but we do have a handout of that in Lean Berets. Here's another thing to think about with protein drinks. If you have to Google the ingredients to find out what the heck they are, you might want to keep looking for a more natural protein product, okay? So, and in my opinion, the best way to drink protein is just with pasteurized egg whites. I'm going to mention that at the end of the show too. And then you're getting one ingredient, egg whites. You know, no added sugars, no fat, just low-calorie, bioavailable protein that is fast and easy to use. An egg white, simple, that's it. One egg has about 6 grams of protein. Another question I get at the table a lot following the hydrostatic testing is about breakfast and meal timing. So, in other words, how many hours are you going in between meals? You might have a great breakfast and then not eat for 8 hours. So there's a lot of research right now, and has been for quite a while, on the importance of breakfast, especially just metabolically, what it does to your metabolism and helping you to, you know, properly use the food that you're ingesting throughout the day if you eat breakfast. So know this, you don't want to skip breakfast, and you want to eat within 1 to 2 hours of waking up. And the reason for that is a metabolic window. If you go over about 2 hours, then you can get into that kind of your body sense of starvation mode. And when it does that, it's going to want to store whatever you're eating as fat, even if you're eating good stuff. It might be lean protein, but if your body senses is starving, it wants to go into fat storage with it. And it will also go into muscle storage that you already have and start burning off muscle for fuel to store as fat. So you don't want to waste away your muscle. I mean, that's the whole point of both these shows and hydrostatic weighing so far, is maintaining that lean mass. So just be aware of that. You know, eating breakfast within 1 to 2 hours. If I didn't make that point at the coaching table with you, I'm making it now. It's very, very important. And a related note, if you're going 3 to 4 hours or more between meals, you can also kind of get into a starvation kind of mode. It depends on the person. I think, you know, no one is... there's no one size fits all for any of this for sure. But in general, you know, I know for me, if I'm going definitely over 4 hours, I start, you know, having that feeling like I'm not eating enough food and I might be slipping into a muscle wasting kind of phase. So I think, you know, for most people, this works really well. I know there are different people out there doing it different ways, and they're maybe eating twice a day and that works for them. But what I usually recommend is what works for the most amount of people most of the time. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about, the coaching table with everyone. So anyway, just eat your breakfast and distribute your macronutrient calories out over the course of your day. I'm getting a lot of questions on fruit and glycemic index too. So this is kind of interesting. I've changed my opinion on this a little bit the last year, but know this, you know, fruits are carbohydrates. So sometimes people come in and say, well, I'm on a no-carb diet. I'm like, okay, well, you know, you might want to rethink that. I mean, because you need carbohydrates, right? Your brain needs that kind of fuel. But they're not eating bread, but they're eating fruit. Well, fruit is a carbohydrate, and so are vegetables. But fruit can be really high in the glycemic index, so you get a real spike of blood sugar there when you eat a lot of fruit. And so I've really reined back on, you know, my encouragement or recommendations for people to eat a lot of fruit without balancing that fruit load out glycemically with some protein and fat at the same time. So I agree that fruit is healthy. It's got hydration in it, lots of vitamins, lots of minerals, but it's also got a lot of sugar in it, basically. So be careful of just loading up on excessive amounts of fruit. I don't think fruit should be looked at as free calories that you can just eat on an unlimited basis just based on glycemic index alone. I've also talked to some dietitian friends that told me that a lot of their clients that eat a lot of fruit, just like freely eat fruit, and they don't balance the fruit out with the fat or protein, have some real issues with weight management in terms of storing fat. So just be aware of that. Okay, so I'll give you a common example, especially with women. They're trying to do the right thing, so you know I'll give them that much. But they're having a breakfast, and they're eating unsugared whole grain cereal with fresh fruit and non-fat milk and maybe a little bit of yogurt with it. And so all that is a carbohydrate, pretty much, right? It's sugar, 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 sugar. There's no fat or protein balance in that meal. So how I've modified this at home for myself is I've actually started using 1% milk to get more fat on purpose. I've added 2 egg whites, pasteurized, so you don't have to cook pasteurized egg whites. You can just pop it into your cereal and you can't even really taste it. The kind I get comes in a plunger and it's really easy to use and add. And then I add some pecans or walnuts in my cereal. So I'm getting some fat and protein with those. I'm getting some protein, pure protein with the egg whites. And I'm getting the carbohydrate source from the oatmeal or the whole grain cereal. Okay, so I try to balance that out better. And that's going to be better systemically for your body. So most people just eat too much sugar, period, whether it's processed sugar or fruit sugar. So just be aware of that, it's hard in your body glycemically to just have this huge sugar load. Another question I get, or a comment I want to make, even if I don't get the question, is gluten intolerance and celiac disease. And I'm seeing more and more people with gluten problems. And if you don't know what gluten is, basically it's a glue that holds certain foods together. Gluten's a protein composite found in foods processed from wheat and related grains. It's a natural substance, but there's a lot more gluten in food today than there used to be a few decades ago because food companies are using this glue as kind of a binder and filler and then subsequently using less real food. So it's basically cheaper to use extra gluten than the actual pure food product. But what's happening is it's causing a lot of inflammatory responses in people, and you can get all kinds of really serious health problems from a gluten allergy or gluten intolerance. And I want to put that on your radar screen. So in general, I think we see far more food allergies today than we did 30 or 40 years ago because we have so many chemicals and weird things in our food supply. You know, in my grandmother's day, they kind of had food that was natural and that was it. And today, a lot of the quote-unquote food people are eating isn't really real. It's so much of it is processed in the laboratory and then added into the food. So one thing I've learned to recognize on the gluten intolerance is that a lot of people, you know, when you talk about weight, fat weight versus lean mass weight and water weight, I think a lot of folks aren't just carrying around a lot of extra body fat, but they're carrying around a lot of extra water from inflammation. So I've learned to recognize the last couple years especially that a lot of people are puffy. They're swollen. So if you think you're having some swelling problems or puffiness in your face and joints, you might want to think about some kind of food allergy test or testing for gluten intolerance. We did a great show over a year ago with our Lean Bray colleague and friend Jill Molshon in Park City, Utah. She runs the Gluten-Free Institute and the GoGlutenFreeGracefully.com website. She's done a great job helping both Kevin Rail and I and others to understand gluten and the clinical testing process for those that need more help with that. And I would encourage you to listen to that show and hit up her websites for more information. Get on her email list there and get some really nice recipes that are gluten-free. Really a great source. She's really rocking the gluten education there and the cooking part. Another question I get a lot about is exercise and weight management. So people often ask, well, you know, can I just go to the gym and get all this extra fat weight off that the test is showing that I have? You can, but most people don't know how to use the exercise science properly to get that done. And so, you know, I know with my clients, I work with them a lot on what I feel is a cutting edge and what the best metabolic protocols are to get the most muscle on and burn the most fat and optimize their biomechanics and the neurology and all these things. But I mean, you know, the average American doesn't have access to all that information. So the point I want to make is the best way to manage body fat in terms of, you know, if you have to lose a lot of fat weight, is not going to be with exercise. Once you get the fat weight off, exercise is more important in terms of maintaining the body composition. But unless you want to quit your job and work out 8 hours a day, it's probably not going to happen. So if you're grinding it out on the treadmill, low heart rate, it's not going to do anything significantly to change your body composition. In other words, you know, you're gaining a bunch of muscle and losing a bunch of body fat, and it's probably not going to happen. And if you look at a lot of people that do the same old thing on the treadmill every day, look at them next year and the year after, they probably look the same. They don't really change their body comp. So it is possible to get fat weight off with exercise, but you've really got to be on top of some type of metabolic circuit training, interval training, the proper kinds of strength conditioning. But, you know, just realize it's what you eat and when you eat it that is more important for managing body composition. So those are the more common questions. The last part of the show today, I'm going to get on into some website references and products. So people often ask me for specific brand names and product references following the hydrostatic weighing and the coaching sessions that I do. So here are a few that I've used personally and professionally. And of course, some are going to be with the Lean Braze. And just to qualify this, if you've never listened to the Lean Braze before, it's a website and group that I founded back in 2007. And, you know, started getting all these kind of crazy ideas and started talking to my well coach and fitness training professional friend, Kevin Rail in Park City, Utah. And it just grew from a seed of organic thought, if you will. And we've joined forces with a lot of people around the country that are passionate about health and fitness. Many of them are in the business of health and fitness, but some of them are on the user end of health and fitness, and they have a really good story to share. And it's kind of, the inspiration comes from Jack Elaine, the American fitness pioneer. And, you know, we've taken Jack's style and we've updated it with some modern technology and current research, but his simple style of enthusiastic health promotion with the fitness flair is still there with us, and we're just trying to continue his work and take it to the next level. So, you know, with our shows, like the show today, if we feel it has a mass appeal for the general population, it's a good target for our shows. And that's why, even though today's show is a little bit technical, I think everyone listening, even if you don't have the test, you can benefit from what we're learning and what's actually working. It's not just me pontificating about, well, I think this will work. I've actually seen this information used the way I laid it out today in the show to really optimize people's body composition. I mean, they're coming back in a few months and they're feeling so much better, especially the women. They're not starving anymore. They're gaining some muscle. They're losing some fat, and they're encouraged because they're making real progress and they feel like they can hold this on longer. It's not a short-term program, if you will. It's really more of a lifestyle change. So, you know, that's who the Lean Braze are and why this show's on the program today. But we have, of course, this podcast you're listening to today, that's a reference. But there's some other shows that we've done that you might want to check out related to body composition and managing your body weight, especially if you're trying to lose fat weight. The other show, Hydrostatic Testing with Linda Finley of BodyFatTest.com, you want to check out that show for sure, because we'll go into a lot of the protein research and how the hydrostatic weighing test works. If you have a gluten problem, make sure to listen to that gluten intolerance show with Jill Molshan from the Gluten Free Institute. And Kevin Rail, well coach in Lean Bray, has also overviewed the protein powder handout that I'll mention in a second. In an audio version, MP3. So he's ad-libbed a little bit, and that's kind of cool to listen to if you want a few more details that aren't on our protein handout. Here's some handouts that I think would be really helpful for you to have. We have a one-page gluten handout that Jill Molshan helped us develop. So it can be very, very confusing, but to be honest with you, I didn't understand this stuff at all until I sat down with Jill and we did the show with her, and she really was able to simplify a lot of complex issues going on with gluten intolerance. So A great place to start if you're wanting to learn about that is go to that handout on our website, theleanbraise.com. Look under education or nutrition, and you'll see it there. We have a great handout, one page on protein powders. So if you're in an uproar like, oh my gosh, I need more protein, but I didn't know that a lot of the protein powders were contaminated and they've got arsenic and heavy metals, and you know, you can go there and we'll give you a real clean, simple handout to take with you into the store so you know how to buy a good quality protein powder. We also have another one there on leanbraise.com on sugar substitutes. And there's so much sugar in food today, it's putting on pounds and really harming people's health. So if you're trying to reduce sugar calories, you want to look at that sugar substitute handout. We've even got a radio show on that. And then we have an organic shopping handout as well. And I just think in general, you know, moving more towards organic is healthier overall. And I think it will factor into weight loss in terms of reducing fat weight, because the organic real food just doesn't have all these added fats and sugars like many of the other conventional foods do. Other websites and services, if you want to check into the hydrostatic weighing, go to bodyfattest.com. I work exclusively with Linda Finley, who's in Southern California, but this company is around the United States and they have mobile testing labs in other parts of the country as well. The liquid pasteurized egg whites, that's a really great source of protein. It's really easy to use. You can hit that up on my website. If you go to ronjones.org/egg-whites/index-htm, I've also got this in the handout that goes with this show. Egg Whites International is the website. So it comes in a half gallon or full gallon container. Really easy to use, very high quality product. Everyone that's purchased these, you know, has been really happy with them. If you want gluten-free cooking and sugar-free challenge information, Jill Molshaw in Park City, Utah, has a great company that's working in these areas. She's got a really interesting group going online for people that are kicking the sugar habit with fascinating results. So if you need a little extra coaching help and a support group, reach out to Jill and see if you can get involved with that group. It's a minimal fee. I think what she's doing to help people, I mean, it's what could be one of the best investments you've ever made. Not a big deal to jump on that for sure. So in summary of everything I've talked about so far, I want to hit the high points now to close the show. So again, this is kind of directed initially to my clients that are actually going through this as a follow-up for them. But I think even if you don't get the test, you can gather a lot of great information that you can use. But here are the big take-home points to understand about hydrostatic weighing and how to use that data. Number one, balance the three macronutrients of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, but emphasize complex carbohydrates, lean proteins, and healthy fats. Number two, know your RMR requirements, those resting metabolic needs, and eat enough so you don't starve. Remember, starvation will only waste away your muscle and force your body to store fat. Number three, eat breakfast and eat often enough so you don't enter a starvation mode and waste away your lean mass. Number four, eat enough protein to maintain your lean muscle and hopefully even gain a little lean muscle if needed, which most people do. And understand that you can only safely absorb around 25 to 30 grams of protein per meal without backloading your kidneys or even storing excess protein as fat. And we don't want to do that. Number five, understand that the best way to lose significant fat weight is with nutrition, not exercise. Number six, redefine weight as what type of weight. Know the difference between fat weight and lean mass weight and why losing muscle mass to see scale weight decreases are not efficient for long-term weight management. Number seven, walk away from the coaching table with 1 to 3 action items and do them. If you need to reduce fat weight, you can make real progress within 30 days. I've seen it. Linda's seen it. This is happening, and it's for real, okay? I really think that what I've talked to you about today is running 5 to 10 years ahead of the curve. Most people don't have a clue what this is about. It's not even on their radar screen, and you can benefit from it today and rock it, okay? And number eight, the final point, it's all good data. Even if your hydrostatic data report yielded less than optimal results, it can still put you years ahead of the curve on body composition and weight management. So those are my big take-home points. Good luck. I think it's just great information. I wish more people had access to it. And I wish all the best health with these results and the information, even if you can't have the test. You've been listening to Lean Braze Radio Show at theleanbraze.com. Music today provided by Van Halen Army. Until next time, keep moving. No excuses.